Amen. Amen. Receive that. Well, if it's not too late to say it, Happy New Year. We were away in the States over the Christmas and New Year period. You can tell by my tan. No, you can't. Okay. I don't tan very well. But we did get a little bit of sunshine, although it was freezing cold when we arrived, which was quite nice for us. But for people over there in the States, it was very unusual, an unusual period to have one of the sunniest parts of the U.S., 0 degrees. But we were more than used to it and quite happy to spend a day or two acclimatizing until it got a lot hotter for us. With my complexion, you don't want too much sun. So sun cream on the top of my head was the order of the day most of the time. Now, thinking about start of a new year always gets me going. I love the start of a new year. I love to reflect and also to seek God for the year ahead, and I got some time to do that whilst on holiday. Not much time. It's quite exhausting with the kids and the family over the 2 weeks. I feel like I need a holiday now. But I did get a little bit of time to reflect, and this is what came back to me over and over. Build your house on the rock. Now, you can see at the bottom there, and I stole this image from a website from about 4 or 5 years ago, but, you know, nothing changes really, does it? It's still the same sort of issues that we face in the world, but God remains the same, stable, faithful, and gracious throughout all eternity. So despite all the challenges that we may face, if we build our house upon the rock, He will be with us. Amen? Great. Okay, it's a good starting point. I've got way too many books and things. Wait there a second. I'm going to steal a chair. That's the other good thing about getting a bit of time off. I get to do a little bit of reading. So I'm going to try and use a few things that have inspired me. Okay. So I'm going to break it down into three sections. And quite a few things have already been shared again this morning, which is confirmation for me that God is at work within our church and within our lives. And so that word, expectations, we'll come back again a couple of times this morning. But here are the three things I want you to talk about. Praising God, and we heard that through a new song that was just, or an older song, but a song that came from Catherine this morning. Praising God, I want to bless the Lord, I want to praise His holy name. So we're talking about praising God at the start of a new year. Then we'll go into the meat of what I wanted to share around building our house upon the rock. And we're going to finish this morning with God's promises. And amazingly, as I was praying and pondering, sharing and talking to you this morning, I was reading my daily verse from Spurgeon, and the first thing that comes up is God's promises. I thought, wow, God, you're saying something to us. So I want to look at God's promises this morning. And praising God at the start of the new year is the best way to start, right? Now, I know we'll go up and down and things will happen, and I was thinking about our lives, right, and the swing that we go through from chaos to calm. And for some of us, that line might look like that all the time. It's going continually. Others, it might just be continuous chaos at the top. Sometimes it can be, life can be quite calm. And other times it can just be somewhere in the middle and we stay relatively stable. But we all have this chart, and you can chart it in your own mind right now, what's happening in your life between chaos and calm. Right now, as you're sat here, you might think, thank goodness the kids are out now and the kids work. I can have a little bit of calm and peace and sit back and reflect and pray. And I hope a few things that I share this morning will inspire you to think and reflect and pray and seek God. Ultimately, that's what I want to do this morning. I want to encourage you at the start of the new year to recommit your lives to the Lord and to give Him everything you have in this year ahead. For me, it's a nice sign, nice moment in our lives to just spend a few moments committing, recommitting ourselves to God and what He has for us as His church. So praising God at the start of the new year, how do we approach 2023? Well, my argument would be putting Jesus at the center, okay? That's what I would like to put forward to us this morning. Second, as we build our house upon the rock, we want to learn from Jesus' teachings, and we'll have a little look through a few teachings this morning. What do we focus on? Well, it instructs us in Matthew 7 to hear and obey. And the foolish person hears and ignores. Okay, so God's saying to us this morning, hear and obey. And we get a moment now today to reflect on our obedience to God. And then we're going to look at God's promises to finish off. It is God's nature, this is what Spurgeon says, it's God's nature to keep his promises. That's his nature. He is more ready to hear you than we are to ask. Isn't that incredible? He's more ready to hear you as we come before him, faithfully asking for his promises, than we are to ask. He's ready. He's willing and ready to bless us. Why do we follow him? Because he's done it all. He's done it all. He's paid the ultimate price. And we're going to see when we look at God's promises that he is ready to pour out his blessings upon us. All he seeks of us is just to ask. And it's made me think, as I've been reflecting and praying and considering this morning, how much do I ask? You know, I love it, and I'll talk a little bit about it. I'm sure we've all had the experience over the last few weeks with family of giving gifts to one another. It's a great experience, isn't it? Isn't it great when you see somebody satisfied, happy, pleased, especially the little ones? There's nothing better than seeing the little ones just blessed and happy with what they've been given. But boy, do they ask. Now, for us, we had the added challenge this year. First time we've ever been away over the Christmas period outside of the UK, we had the added challenge of the time difference. So normally the kids are up at 6 anyway on Christmas morning. We'll put that back 5 hours. That's when our day started. But they were ready. They were waiting. They were expectant. They were excited. Why? Because they knew that Mum and Dad would deliver on their promises. And we'll see if we can deliver on our promises and give good gifts, how much more the Father. How much more the Father than us, human beings. So why do we follow him? Because he's done it all. So let's kick off then with praising God. And we read from Psalm 63 that I will praise you as long as I live, and in your name I will lift up my hands. Now come on, you know me. When I see a word, I'm addicted, and I'm happy to say it, I'm addicted to Wordle. I know there's something wrong with me every morning when I think I've got to try and get that word again today. I'm on a good streak at the moment. And whilst we were away on holiday, I was thinking, oh, I can't mess up with the time zones now, otherwise my streak will be gone. You might say that's sad, but hey, it keeps me entertained for a few minutes every day. I like to break words down and letters down and mnemonics and so on. So today I'm going to break down the word praise for you. And I'm breaking it into the six components, if you can see it there, of pause, reflect, appraise, ideate. That's the best I could do there. Seek God and expect. So you can see I struggle a little bit with the eye, but we'll come on to that in a moment. Is it enough to just keep praising the Lord year in, year out? That would be great, right? If we just came before him each Sunday morning. And maybe that's the plan for 2023 for you. How many times can I come to church on a Sunday morning and praise God? Great. Good to do that. Really good. But surely there's more. Surely it's not just Sunday morning. Surely our lives, as it says in the Word of God, can be transformed every single minute of every single day. It's happening in the kids' work already. They're being transformed every single day, right? Surely that's what we expect. That's what we believe. That's what we hope, that it wouldn't just be about Sunday morning praise. It's a natural point to come before the Lord and wait on him at the beginning of a new year. So pause is waiting on the Lord, recognizing his greatness. He is a great God. We've sung about it again this morning. And doesn't it inspire you when you come to worship together? Just some of the words we call God, our Father, the Almighty King of Kings, the Everlasting Lord, our Everlasting Savior, Prince of Peace. There are so many words as you look through the scriptures that we can use to describe God, and nothing comes close to his greatness. You know, if we spent the next 5 hours together, and we could do this, right? We could all get together and write down as many words. There wouldn't be enough words to write over all these walls to describe God. And even if we did fill all these walls with all these different words of his greatness, it still wouldn't even come close to the magnitude of who God is. It wouldn't even be a fraction of who he is. We can't do it, can we? In our human brains, we cannot comprehend just how great and big God is. And that initial picture that I showed you, there's enough things in this world that tell you that God is nothing. God is small. God is insignificant. There's enough that goes on in our lives, in our world, on social media, on conversations that happen every day that says that God is small, insignificant, and nothing, not worth going after. That is a lie. Our God is great beyond all greatness. He's worthy to be praised. He is the King of kings and Lord of lords. And guess what? He sees you. He has a plan for us. We heard it this morning. Expect that God will use you this year. Expect that God will change you this year. Expect that this could be the greatest year of your life. That's what I'm praying for. At the start of every new year, I get inspired because it's another opportunity to go after God in new ways. And we all fail, right? We all make mistakes. If I look back now, if I do, as we'll come on to in a minute, if I reflect and appraise myself over the last 12 months, I think, oh, Lord, if only I'd done this, if only I'd done that. I had a very sad story last year of a guy that I used to spend time with at the gym who passed away, a young guy, younger than me, leaving a family behind. And I reflect back, Lord, if only I'd spent more time sharing your word with him. I don't know what's happened. I don't know his family at all. But what I know is there are moments in life that we can share the good news of Jesus. And let me encourage you. I want this to be an encouragement at the start of the new year. We have opportunities. Opportunities come about left, right, and center. But let's put Jesus at the center of our lives. Let's take the opportunity this year to do everything we possibly can to serve him wholeheartedly, knowing that we are human. We fall, we fail, we make mistakes, but God is with us no matter what. So as we reflect, let's consider what he's done for you. Think about what he's done for you. Now, look, I'm going to raise loads of questions and points this morning because I'd love you to spend a little bit of time just thinking. You've got some moments here. If you want to switch off for me, no problem. Because if God's doing a work in you, it'll be far greater than anything I can say. So just maybe even spend a few moments this morning. Just reflect. Think about what God has done for you in this last year. You know, as I thought about it, you know, in terms of health, family, friendships, church, in my workplace, in my with my mates and the social side of my life, I think, God, what a faithful God you are. Despite all my problems and issues, you're always there with me. You're always helping me. He is a God of love. I look back and appraise myself. How is my relationship with Jesus? You know, I do that with Becky. I say to her, look, you know, let's look back over the last year. How has it gone for us? What do we need to change? Life goes by so quick. But yet I've committed myself to Becky and to my family. And I want them to enjoy time with me and vice versa. I want to, and holidays are great moments to share time together. And of course, as Becky reminded me when we were away, when you're that close together for 2 weeks, and we were literally all in the same room sleeping every night, the highs are really high and the lows are really low. You know, you go through all the emotions of a family life together. But I want to improve develop my relationship with my wife. But even more so, I want to develop my relationship with Jesus. And to understand the power of his Holy Spirit at work within us. Mike encouraged us this morning, let the power of his Spirit be at work in us as we worship him, as we worship Jesus. By his Spirit, may we understand and get a glimpse of who God is. Ideate, okay. This is my idea around thinking forward. What new things are we looking for this year? It might be the gifts of the Spirit. You might be praying for gifts of the Spirit this year. You may be asking God to use you in new ways. You might right now be reflecting upon things you've done over the years that you haven't done for a while. Maybe you want to renew those things. Whatever it may be, we've all got unbelievable gifts that God has given us, talents for his church, for the benefit of his church. Let's think about it. Let's talk about it. Let's inspire one another. I love to hear different ideas from different people around the church that I haven't thought about. It's great when you get together and spend some time together over a meal and just share. You learn so much. But let's seek God. Let's commit to seeking him first and putting Jesus at the center. I often like to start, you know, every 1st of January when you think, like, I'll get a reading plan together. Yeah, yeah. and it always begins Genesis 1, right? You know, I don't know how many times I've read Genesis 1 over the years, but you know, that chapter of the Bible is the most read in my opinion, or certainly in my life. But I also sometimes flick to the New Testament and go to Matthew. So Matthew, for me, I love reading through Matthew, and there's a lot that I've picked up for the sermon today that comes through from Matthew, because I'm spending time in Matthew at the moment. And so seeking first his kingdom is a mantra I try to live my life by all the time. And when I reappraise, the first thing I do is, have I sought first his kingdom? Has it been the first thing that I've sought? And I can always give myself examples of, no, not there, no, not there, not there. Why not? What happened? What blocked me? What stopped me? And then you start to, you know, chat a little bit with Becky, and she gives me some of the thoughts about how she does it and what she thinks about. And I think, oh yeah, that's a good way. That's a good idea, good thought for me. And that leads me to my E, expect. Because if you're just expecting the same thing as last year, let me honestly tell you, God has got so much in store for you. As we've heard this morning, be expectant of God moving in your life this year, right now. God can do great things through you because we are Christ's ambassadors, as it says in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 20. We are Christ's ambassadors. Okay, let's get on to the main part of this morning's sermon then. So Matthew 7, 24 to 29. Okay, I'm going to read it out. Here we go. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house. Yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. When Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowds were amazed at his teaching, because he taught as one who had authority and not as their teachers of the law. I love how Tom Wright describes this passage in his commentary. He describes about walking up mountains and hills, and he says when it gets quite misty, often walkers get lost. And I didn't realize this because I'm not a walker, but I have done a few walks over my lifetime. And he talks about cans, little pebbles that walkers leave on paths so that other walkers can see the right way up the mountain, okay? So every now and again, and I'm going to have to, next time I go walking, I'm going to be exploring cans. Pebbles. We'll call them pebbles. That's going to be easier for me. I'm going to be looking out for these little pebbles that mark the way up the path. And Tom Wright says that Matthew, very cleverly through the course of his book, leaves these pebbles, cans, for the readers to see. So the first one, it describes it as, so when Jesus had finished these words, so that's the first sign. So when Jesus had finished these words, so it says it five times through the course of Matthew. First time is at the end of the Sermon on the Mount, as we've just read. When Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowds were amazed at his teachings. That's the first one. The second one comes after the instructions to the disciples in chapter 10. The third one comes at the parable of Jesus. So again, guiding us through. And then the fourth one comes after Jesus' teaching about community that is coming into being around Jesus and his ministry. That's the end of chapter 18. And the fifth one finally comes after the long section that matches the Sermon on the Mount in chapters 23 to 25. I was fascinated by that. I love it when bits of scripture are revealed to you and your eyes are opened. I thought, wow, he's leading us through this teaching over all these chapters. And I can now see what he's trying to show us. So this is Jesus' authoritative teaching. Now that word, authority, there are probably people in your life that when they speak, you listen. Am I right? You can probably think of people. I can think of a handful. I'm not going to say who, but there are a number of people in my life right now, I know for a fact, when they speak, I'm listening. Because often what they've got to share is wise, profound, and helpful, and changes my life. But they're human beings. When Jesus was speaking, he spoke with authority. Authority. You think of all the hundreds of thousands of people that would have been listening to the Sermon on the Mount that Jesus is talking to, he came with authority and taught people with authority. People listened. And I often try to tell myself, get into my small little brain, that the words here that are in this scripture are more powerful than any written words that we'll ever read on our screens, on our devices, or any conversations that we might choose to have. We can only glimpse, right? We can only chat a little bit about what we see, but this is powerful. These words are powerful. They mean something to us. All these years ago when it was written, to this moment in time and forever to come, these words will be more powerful than any words that we can write down and read on a screen or on a device. Jesus spoke with authority. Now, I knew I'd do that. You are kidding me. Sorry. Right. So, as Kevin DeYoung says, to build your house on the rock is to hear what Jesus says and obey. To be foolish and build your house on the sand is to hear and ignore. As I mentioned, it's a great time of year to reflect, and we can think about our own obedience to our Father. And at times, it leads you to ask for forgiveness where necessary. And God's ready to forgive, right? How many times did he forgive us? 70 times 7. To infinity, God will always forgive us because of the power at work through his Son Jesus that conquered sin and death forevermore. We can be grateful that we can come before him and know that we are granted forgiveness for our sins. He's atoned for our sins through the blood of Jesus. We have that guarantee as Christians as we come before him that we are washed clean by the blood of Jesus. Every single moment of every single day, no matter what's gone on in our lives, we can come before him and know that we are clean because of the blood of Jesus that atones for you and for me. And we seek to follow Jesus' example. And I'm just going to read a little passage from the Bible, which I haven't put on the screen, sorry, apologies, that's my fault. But if you've got a Bible, it's in Colossians 3, I'm going to read from 12 to 17. Where it says, therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body, you were called to peace. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, and as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Five things that came through there: compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience. These are just good examples of things that we can think about and contemplate in the year ahead. And what does it lead to? Forgiveness and love. Surely that's what we seek. In a world of turmoil, in a world of anger, frustration, how easy is it to type a message because you're angry, you're frustrated? Why can't we show compassion and kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience? I found, actually, from a work perspective, when I show and demonstrate those type of characteristics, it's even more powerful than sending a very direct email telling someone they've got something wrong. You know, the most easy thing to do when you see something that you're not happy with is to send an email or to go and speak to someone or tell them they're wrong, and this is what you need to do to make things happen. Whereas actual fact, the longer-term benefit I find of these five characteristics really helps me in my daily life, in my walk with people around me in the office, and people see it. You know, if you show compassion and kindness, people notice it, because it's not normal. It isn't normal, is it? It's not normal to show kindness to people. It's not normal to show compassion. It's not normal to be humble. And it certainly isn't normal to show gentleness and have patience with people. But let me encourage us, not only in our church life, but in our family lives, in our work lives, in our neighborhoods, why don't we try to see if we can live out these five things, compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, with a view to bringing forgiveness and love. And it goes on to talk about then the peace of Christ ruling in our hearts, which then leads us to thankfulness. It's great to be a thankful people. I loved it when the kids said thank you to me for the gifts that we'd bought them. There isn't anything that melts my heart more than that, when you see their happiness, the joy it brings. And that's just a small little token, right? Small little indicator. But when they're thankful, oh, just melts your heart. And you think, you didn't need to say that. They didn't need to come and do that. But when they say it, and the kids have learned, I think, over the years that we're putty in their, I'm putty in their hands when they start thanking. Oh, well, we can get them something else now, Beck, surely. She's like, no, that's not the point, James. We're supposed to be teaching them to be thankful, not to be thankful so that they get something else. But just to see them thankful and grateful means so much to us. How much more our Father in heaven? When we're thankful, when we come before him in thankfulness and praise, how much more does our Father see us in heaven? We are ambassadors of Christ. So whatever you do or say, do it as a representative of the Lord Jesus, as I've just read in Colossians. We represent our Lord Jesus here on earth. Might not always feel like it, certainly on Monday morning when the alarm goes off, but we are ambassadors of Christ Jesus, as if he were at work here on earth through us. What a privilege that is. And we're going to go on to God's promises now. It's the exciting bit. Really looking forward to this bit. God's promises. So as I've just been talking about, if you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? God is ready and willing to give good gifts. He is a faithful God who always commits on his promises. I gave you the simple example of our children at Christmas, but how much more? Let me read what I read this morning in my daily reading, because it inspired me. God's promises were never meant to be thrown aside as waste paper. He intended that they should be used. God's gold is not miser's money, but is minted to be traded with. Nothing pleases our Lord better than to see his promises put in circulation. He loves to see his children bring them up to him and say, Lord, do as you have said. We glorify God when we plead his promises. Do you think that God will be any poorer for giving you the riches he has promised? Do you dream that he will be any less holy for giving holiness to you? Do you imagine he will be any less pure for washing you from your sins? I'm going to go on and read then the next part, which is, our heavenly banker delights to cash his own notes. Never let the promise rust. Draw the word of promise out of its sheath and use it with holy violence. Think not that God will be troubled by your I'll go back and read it again. Think not that God will be troubled by reminding him of his promises. He loves to hear the loud outcries of needy souls. It is his delight to bestow favors. He is more ready to hear than you are to ask. The sun is not weary of shining, nor the fountain of flowing. It is God's nature to keep his promises. Therefore, go at once to the throne with, do as you have said. That's what God asks of us. Come before me. Come and experience the pleasures, the promises that God has richly bestowed upon us. All we have to do is just ask. That's what God requires of us. Come before him with confidence. Pete encouraged us last week to seek God with confidence. Meditate on his promises. And I'm going to ask you right now, this is your moment of participation. I know that there are many of us, and perhaps all of us, there are promises right now that you are thinking about and thinking, wow, what a faithful God you are. Let's encourage one another okay? So let's shout out some of the promises of God that inspire you, that motivate you. I've got some that I've written down, but I want to hear yours. This is your opportunity to work and share. So feel free just to shout out if there are promises that God has given to us that you'd like to shout out and share with us.
His righteousness will be with our children's children.
Amen.
His grace is sufficient, and his strength is very perfect in weakness.
Amen.
His goodness shall follow us all the days of our life.
Love that.
I'll never leave you or forsake you.
Amen.
We know that in all things God works together for good to those who love him and been called according to his purpose.
Amen.
Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened.
Amen.
The joy of the Lord is my strength.
Yep. Amen. I'm putting you all on the spot here, but feel free to go home and explore yourself because there are many promises in God's Word. Here are a few. I don't know if you can see that. Here are some of the ones that I wrote down, which I've printed out, and it's great to remind ourselves, isn't it? Especially at the start of the year, of the promises that God has for us. So I'll read out a few of these. He will strengthen you, Isaiah 41:10. He will keep you in perfect peace. Oh, I love that, perfect peace. He will instruct you and teach you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. He will uphold you in Psalm 37. He will renew your strength, Isaiah 40. He will give you rest. Oh, boy, do we need rest at times. He will give you grace, power, and strength, as we heard earlier, 2 Corinthians. His plans are to bring you hope and a future. What a good and faithful God we serve. Look, I'm going to come into land here and I'm going to invite the band to come back up and we're going to respond in worship and praise this morning. But what I wanted to try and do at the start of this year is just encourage you. Encourage you to reflect on the year that's been and what God's been doing in you. And even write down some of the things that God has done for you. It's great to look back and think, wow, God, you were there. In my moment of frustration and anger and difficulty, you were there. In my moment of joy, you were there, Lord. You saw it, you were with me, you carried me, you helped me. With my family, with my friends, whatever it may be, whatever situation it may have been over the last 12 months, God is with us. And then I hope what that does is help you to springboard forward and think about the year ahead and what God has for each one of us. We've been encouraged this morning to set our expectations higher than an E. Go above and beyond. You might look at yourself and say, best I can do this year is an E. I love that. God says, no way. I've got so much more for you. Set your expectations higher. God can use you for amazing things. And it might just be the simple conversations you have with neighbors and friends. It might just be your heart. Your heart might be changed and transformed this year. It might be your worship unto him. It could be the in your job that God uses you in a powerful way this year. You might be able to demonstrate the love of Jesus to others around you. It might just be that your walk with him gets ever closer. It might be gifts of the Spirit that are given to you this year. Whatever it may be, I pray and I ask the Lord Jesus that he'd be at work within you right now and inspire you for 2023 and the year ahead that God has for us as a church. Can we just pray as we respond in worship and then we're going to commit things to him. Father, we love to come before you and seek your face. How amazing, Lord God, that you're already there. You're already waiting for us. You woo us into your presence. You draw us in, Lord God. And our desire is to be more in love with you every day, to continue to grow deeper with you in relationship, to experience your presence, Lord. Oh, that we may know your presence here as your church, Lord God. that by the power of your Spirit, you would draw near to us as we draw near to you, Father, and pray and commit our lives to you afresh. Lord, you've inspired me, Lord, as I've been looking at the year ahead to again recommit my life to you, Lord, to want to follow after you more earnestly than last year, Lord. I yearn for you, Lord, beyond anything else. I seek you, Father, more than anything else in my life. Help me, Lord. Help us to lay down the barriers, the problems, the other things that so easily distract. And help us to put Jesus at the center of our lives right now and for this year ahead. Fresh moment, Lord. It's a fresh year. And Lord, I pray that as you work in our individual lives, as you help us, as you equip us, I pray that that would be for the good of your church, Lord. This is your church. This isn't anything that we've done, Lord, any human being here on earth. This is you at work within us. And Lord, every week when we walk through the doors in this building, Lord, there's nothing special about this building. We're ordinary people. But Lord, because of you, we're extraordinary. We are made different as we come into your presence, Lord God. We are wiped clean by the blood of the Lamb. And I pray that you would unite and empower your church this year, Lord. We want our church to be a shining beacon of your love to those around, Lord God. Would this building resonate with the love of Jesus, Lord? Would our hearts be joined together as we proclaim Jesus as Lord and Savior of our lives? Just pray, Lord God, help us now as we wait upon you, as we sit in your presence. Would you speak to us again? Speak afresh to us again. Let your glory fall in this room. In Jesus' name.